curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Ron's goal is to equip all listeners with the resources to always move forward in their journey. Welcome to today's episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us. I'm Carla Winchester, and I'll be helping co-host the podcast with Ron Kitchens. And Ron, I know we have a great interview lined up today that I'm really excited, and I know you're excited for our listening audience to hear. So Phil Cook and Jonathan Bach have been a great partner with us, and we're really excited to lean into this interview and hear from them on how they are working with leaders across our great country.
It was a great interview with Jonathan Bach and Phil Cook, and they've got an incredible book, The Way Back, How Christians Blew Our Credibility and How We Get It Back. Now, some of you, I know, are going to go, oh, no, Ron's got these Christian guys on. These are two marketing communication guys who have looked at changes in society. So don't let a bias that, hey, I don't want to hear church world. This is not a church world discussion. This is a discussion about where society is and where the changes have been. And I promise you, at the end of this interview, you're going to have more insight into your customers and into your business than before you started. Please join me in listening to our interview with John Bach and Phil Cook. Hey, welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens, and I am so excited today to have Jonathan Bach and Phil Cook with me today. And so they've written this incredible book, The Way Back, How Christians Blew Our Credibility and How We Get It Back. And I've read the book. One of the things I most enjoy about being an author is that I get to read other people's books in advance. And this was one of those books that some of them get piled on the nightstand, but this is one of those that is so timely that I just couldn't put it down. Wherever you are in the faith journey, when I look at all the news right now and things going on, I think it's just so timely. And you know, you guys have done a great job with it. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. We are very grateful. It's fun to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So what kind of drove you to writing this? As we're recording this, you know, the election in Alabama was a few weeks ago, and we saw the faith community divide around those issues. We see, you know, the news is inundating us with stuff that is, in a lot of cases, dividing communities as it normally does, but also dividing kind of the faith communities. How did you all come about this that's so timely?
Well, we're media marketing guys. I mean, that's the world we live in. And so we're acutely aware of the news sources out there and the stories and how Christianity just seems to be receding in the background. We're losing influence every day. We're seeing such a shift. And I know in my lifetime, I've seen this just remarkable shift that no one would have ever expected away from Christianity's influence and values in the culture. And so being me, and we're not pastors. And so being media and marketing guys, we sat around talking about what's the cause of it. It's got to be because we're not telling our story well. We're not marketing ourselves well. But once we started investigating it, we discovered that it's a much, much deeper issue.
Yeah, of course, we just came at it with, surely we have a PR problem. And like every marketing guy, you think you can fix PR problems. But the more and more we dug into it, we just realized we have some fundamental issues surrounding Christianity right now that are largely our fault.
I'd love for you to go deeper on that. As we do on most of the podcasts, I gather a group of our team together and we talk about the book or the authors or whoever we're going to have on. I said, what are the questions important there? What are your thoughts? And one of our team members who grew up in the church said, you know, to be honest, I don't think the normal church leaders, the traditional church leaders, any longer represent me and my values. And so I'm not walking away from her faith journey from Christ, but I am certainly walking away from the people who are leading. Is that the norm or is that an anomaly that we're seeing?
I think John would think that's pretty the norm, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, look, I think we have to kind of look at it this way, which is if we all went to the headquarters of Pepsi and we found most of the people there drinking Coke, like, what would you think about that, right? Or if American Airlines mechanics refused to fly on their own planes, would you fly on that plane? And I think what we discovered through the writing of this book is that we as Christians really just don't believe in our own product. You look at the numbers, just the stats, and of course, we went through this. You hear a lot of things like, well, this is a Christian nation. By and large, as people self-identify, that's largely true. You get numbers kind of in the low to mid 80% of people identifying with Christianity. But then you start to dig into the numbers of, okay, well, they say they're a Christian. How does that reveal itself in their life, right? And what you discover, the numbers are just, they're scathing. They're so embarrassing. So the Hartford Institute found that only 20% of people who call themselves a Christian are going to church on a weekly basis. So 80-something percent saying they're a Christian, 20% actually showing up. How about Bible reading? Another great example is, like, you would think, okay, if you're a Christian, you read the Bible. Well, our friends at Lifeway did their own study, and they found of churchgoers, 41% of them rarely or never open the Bible, ever, ever. And so you start to look at the numbers and you say, well, we say we're a Christian, but we're not actually doing the things that you would assume someone who says they are a Christian would do. And what does that mean? I mean, look, for example, 20% of this country jogs. Would you call us a jogging nation? You wouldn't. And so why have we said this is a Christian nation based on what? Nothing anymore.
What we found out, the bottom line is, what we found out was we're just really lousy salespeople. I mean, we are terrible. If I was a CEO of a company and my staff was as committed to the product as we are to Christ, I would fire them all. We're just not very committed salespeople at all. So you wonder if the world is looking at that, other people are looking at that, seeing what's different about their lives. They're not living a different life than I am. So why should I buy into that? So it's no surprise at all that the world is not interested in being a Christian. I wouldn't be either if I saw that.
Yeah, we are essentially the fat guy at the gym.
Hey, now that's a little personal here.
But we are. We're that fat guy at the gym lecturing others on good health.
Yeah, who's lecturing everybody else? That's the key.
Well, I got a headband and wristbands, so you know, I got credibility there.
Well, that helped. Looking awesome is important.
So how do we get it back? How do we come back?
Hey, Ron, do you know what churches now consider a regular attender at churches?
No, what is that?
It's 3 out of every 8 Sundays, or 19 times a year, makes you a regular.
Wow.
That's sad.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a regular anything, you know, from a marketing standpoint, from a business standpoint. If your customer, if you will, who has an opportunity to consume your product every week, chooses to only do it 19 times, that's pretty hard to stay relevant.
That's exactly right. And when you talk about a solution, you know, you ask about a solution, how do we get out of this? The reason that drove me to all this is really nothing the Christian community has done in the last 30 or 40 years has worked. When we talk about issues, any social issue on the radar, whatever it is, boycotts haven't worked. Getting involved in politics hasn't worked. Petition drives online hasn't worked. All those critical, I call them anger strategies, getting mad at the world. You know, here's the funny thing. We criticize Hollywood, for instance, because we don't like the movies they make. Well, if criticism worked, why don't missionaries do it? You know, why don't missionaries go to a third world country, surround a tribe, hold up signs, protest, boycott them? We're not going to buy anything from you until you accept Christ. Of course, that's not going to work. So if it doesn't work there, why do we think it'll work in Hollywood, with the gay community, with anybody else? It's just not going to work. So we've got to change the way we approach it. And part of it is we've just got to live a better life. One of the things we discovered here in Hollywood, we did an informal study of non-believers here and said, what do you dislike about Christians? And the hypocrite thing came up. I mean, the idea that get out of my life, you're telling me how to live, this idea that we're incredibly, we lecture everybody about how to live, and yet we're not living that life ourselves. The research supports that. So if we don't get more serious about our own life first, we're certainly not going to make an impact anywhere else.
Right.
No question about it.
I mean, for example, we're supposed to be known by the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. You know the list, right? Which of those words would you say that non-Christians look at and say, ah, that's the Christian community for sure?
I wish it was love, but I don't think that really is.
Joy, yeah. Patience, kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't even express that to each other. So I see a lot. I happen to, like you all, have lots of friends who are on the thought leader side, as you guys are, in the faith-based community and the intersection of business. And I just see this animosity towards each other. You know, I had Frank Luntz, the pollster, on the podcast a few weeks ago and talking about America and our perceptions. And, you know, and I'll get his numbers completely wrong, but they're somewhere around the 1950s, 20% of Americans said they were mad as heck and weren't going to take it anymore. And in the heat of the late 60s with Watergate and Vietnam, it was got to about 35%. Well, his latest numbers show that it's in the 80 percentile. People are just angry. And those that are supposed to be expressing joy, love, peace, charity we're not carrying our own water right now. And I think that's part of our issues in this country. I think part of our issues in the world.
I think in so many cases, we want to protest in front of an abortion clinic or someplace else. And yet we're not willing to go to next door and meet the lady we live next to and really share Christ with her. Mother Teresa said, just starts with one. You want to change the world, start with one person. We have a friend in the UK, Jay John, who's an evangelist, who said, you want to be a missionary? Great, go next door. We started, John is famous for this. He started jogging around his neighborhood, just meeting homeless guys that lived within a mile of his house. And I was shocked at the number of people he met. During the writing of this book, the number of people John got off the street, just by one-on-one, going out, meeting them, getting to know them, hearing their story, and getting them into a new life was really remarkable. So I think a big part of this is to make a difference, we've got to start individually with us. We've got to get our life back on track. We've got to live the kind of life that non-believers would look at. Keep in mind, throughout the book of Mark in particular, but throughout the Gospels, when Jesus would preach, the reaction of the people was they were astonished. They were baffled. I mean, they were just amazed that anyone would say these kind of things. And I don't think too many pastors and too many Christians, when they share their faith with people, I don't think many people are astonished these days. And I would love for us to get back to a place where our lives so astonish this culture that they are forced to reconsider who we are and who is this God we're always talking about.
I think that's a great desire for us to go to. You know, one of my favorite parts of the book was, and I'll get it wrong, but it was the concept that America loves a comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
What does our comeback story look like? How does it play out?
John, you're the marketing guy. Lay it out for us.
Well, I mean, the good news is this, and you said it exactly right, Ron, is that we are a country that loves to see people kind of rise up and then get kicked down and then come back again. And we're in a position right now where a lot of things associated with the Christian community are in the basement. And we're not looking so hot. We're looking like the sub 500 team for sure. But the great news is that there's a very simple model for a comeback, and it's the early church. We do not have to look any further than the early church in Acts to discover the way back for ourselves. I mean, essentially, the moment Jesus disappeared into the sky, you had disciples who were largely illiterate fishermen who had no power, no control, no money, not much of anything. And within 200 years, Christianity was the dominant religion of the Western world. How did that happen? How did these guys who had nothing make a comeback, right? And so we can look at that as our model and start to figure out how to make our comeback.
I think that's great advice. You know, we don't have to reinvent things. The medium, they didn't have my iPhone in my pocket to communicate with. But you don't need that. That's the medium. What they had was the message. And I think that's the message we all have to continue to share. And, you know, wherever people are at on their faith journey, they're looking for hope. They're looking for love. And they're looking to know that they're working for something bigger than simply whatever the latest argument is on cable news.
That's so true. Absolutely. I think people are exposed to so much now. We live in the most distracted culture in the history of the world. Researchers say that the average person is being bombarded with about 5,000 media messages a day. Let me tell you, it's going to take more than ever to cut through all that clutter and actually get on somebody's radar. And I really believe that it's not the anger strategies, it's not the negativity, it's not the criticism that's going to help. Certainly, there are things we need to have a high standard. We need to say this is right, this is wrong. That's important. However, you don't change somebody by yelling at them. You don't change somebody by getting mad at them. That just has not worked. And I think if we're going to get their attention, if we're going to make them reconsider what this Christian thing is all about, I think we've got to express it in a far, far better way. And that's really the thrust of the book. How do we change the course of this culture, the direction it's going? And I think our solution, our answer really is, we've got to change the way we've responded to the culture over the last 30, 40, even 50 years, certainly my lifetime. We've got to change the way we're going to do it, or we're going to lose the battle. We're going to continue to be marginalized and continue to disappear from the culture completely.
But I think it's important to note that it's on us. It's not on culture. It's on us. I mean, one of my favorite authors is Tozer, and he said, nothing can destroy Christianity if we live like Christians. And we're not living like Christians. We're just not.
That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line. And as we kind of go forward, I encourage people to check out The Way Back, How Christians Blew Our Credibility and How We Get It Back by John Bach and Phil Cook. And tell you, they're both great follows. And Phil in particular, I really enjoy your social media.
Thank you.
I believe that ignorance is the enemy, and you every day are pouring into me. I'm so appreciative of that and appreciate you all both joining us today.
Well, we've had a great time. This good, great questions. And we always enjoy talking about how we can change our direction and get back on track. It's a great challenge and we're up for it.
Awesome, guys. Have an incredible day. We truly appreciate you and we love you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. And if you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you and grow our impact. Make sure to tune in every Monday for a new episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.